Welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the official podcast of everythingaction.com. Hello, and welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the podcast of the week of January 10th, 2022. I'm your host, Zach, and this week we have Chris.
Hello.
And we have a ton of stuff this week. We have tons of news. Chris saw The Matrix Resurrections finally, so we'll dive into that. Catch up on another big holiday release, Chris, after you were traveling for most of the holidays.
I traveled into The Matrix at that point now.
Yeah. So yeah, we will discuss all things The Matrix Resurrections and try to like figure out what the hell happened in that movie. But unfortunately, we have to kick things off with sad news again this week. We lost two kind of iconic people in the world of film and television. So Bob Saget passed away at age 65 this past week.
So random.
Yeah, so random and unexpected. And yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure I probably saw Full House. I don't have like memories of like religiously watching Full House, but like definitely like American Sports Videos was like, that was my Bob Saget thing in the when I was a kid in the 90s, like Sunday night American Sports Videos.
I've got a lot of Full House memories.
I feel like I have like more like the other TJF shows are like more, much more like I have like a connection to, like Boy Meets World or like Family Matters or Dinosaurs or something. Like I'm sure I watched a bunch of Full House. It wasn't like my like I gotta watch Full House, like. But that was obviously like that's obviously like one of the hugest things for Bob Saget.
Yeah, that was his like forte into like family friendly things.
Which is such a weird like when you like kind of like know more about his career, like it's like he's like the corniest cornball on like American Sports Videos and like Full House, but then like the filthiest comic ever when he does like stand up, or like when he did stand up, or like The Aristocrats. That was like, I think he was like one of the driving forces behind like the movie version of that.
Mm-hmm. And then the fact that like he kind of just like did bit parts where it was like a play on him showing up in random things.
Yeah, there's
like, it was like meta Bob Saget things.
Definitely, like yeah, it's like late '90s into 2000s. There was just like Bob Saget would kind of like show up and like kind of like play off of like and like very like unexpectedly like be like crazy or like filthy or like. I think definitely like one of the most memorable ones for me is like, even though the movie itself is pretty terrible, but, like Dumb and Dumberer.
He was in Dumb and Dumberer?
Dumb and Dumber, so like the prequel. Like when Harry met Lloyd,
I forgot he was in that.
Yeah, so it's like the main like love interest, like Jessica, like Bob Saget was her dad, and then like Harry goes to like their house, and he had like a chocolate bar in his pocket, and it melts, and then he goes in the bathroom, and then they're trying to have it be like the same as like the toilet scene for like the first movie. But basically he gets like chocolate all over the bathroom, and then he like just leaves, and it's like, oh, I gotta go by, and then like Bob Saget goes to the bathroom and he's just like, there's shit everywhere! He's shit on the walls! He's shit on the ceiling! There's shit on the mirror! It's just like this 5-minute scene of just Bob Saget just yelling shit about yelling about shit in the bathroom for like this scene, which is probably the best scene in the whole movie.
Yeah, I keep catching that movie on TV. I just see like the beginning and the end. I don't remember like a lot.
Yeah, well, I think Bob Saget was in that one scene that was it. And then another thing I definitely remember, like I've seen a bunch of times, is like, there's like that Jamie Kennedy music video,
yeah,
the Rolling with Saget video. That was, I definitely remember that when that first came out. And then yeah, just like that kind of like was this big like, it was like this like big like Bob Saget like is like this like gangsta who like rolls the clubs and stuff.
I didn't see that.
It was very like Lonely Island. Oh, not as good as anything.
It was like pre-Lonely Island.
Yeah.
It's a shame that like Jamie Kennedy like never continued that. That was like peak Jamie Kennedy too.
Yeah. It was like the X Factor or whatever. What was this? You got
The
what?
Jamie Kennedy
Yeah,
experiment.
experiment. Yeah. And I obviously another one was like he was the narrator on How I Met Your Mother.
Yep. And Bob Saget's voice is very iconic.
Yeah.
So if you just do voiceovers and the How I Met Your Mother, the fact that it's like a Wonder Years thing where his voice is very like, oh, okay, when's this gonna match up? It's weird that he was the Bob Saget voice was supposed to be like future Ted in the show, and it just they never quite explained that. They're like, all right, it's just Bob Saget. That's what
Yeah,
it is.
because even like the last episode, like he just sounded like Ted. He just sounded like Bob
Yep.
Saget. So yeah, so that was weird. But yeah, definitely just yeah, go check out some of like I don't know. I guess watch the Full House or watch some of like Bob Saget's like random appearances they did over the years. But
I mean, How I Met
definitely,
Your Mother had some good scenes, good
yeah.
dialogue. So, yeah, I mean, he's got like a very long career. I also forget he was 65. Like, he did not look like 65.
So yeah, I mean, and he was work like he was in on like stuff up to like 2 years ago. I mean, like he was doing like Fuller House and he was on The Masked Singer. He was a squiggly monster in The Masked Singer, apparently. So, yeah, go check out some of like a bunch of whatever some Bob Saget stuff. If you haven't seen any of his like stand up stuff or like The Aristocrats or something, definitely check that out. If you only know like the like Full House Breakfast Club video side of Bob
Prepare
Saget,
to get
like,
your mind blown by Bob Saget telling
yeah.
dirty ass joke.
And then the other person we lost this past week was Sidney Poitier, who is, a huge iconic actor. So many like iconic film roles in like the 60s and 70s, and then like directed a bunch of stuff as well. The first black actor to win a Academy Award. And yeah, like In the Heat of the Night is like one of the best movies ever made. Also, and just like, spawned like a weird, like, there's like a weird, like, In the Heat of the Night, like, cinematic universe, kind of, where it's just like there's two sequels that no one really talks about, and then a
Was
TV
it? I just
show.
remember, like, I remember In the Heat of the Night having its own, like, TV show.
Yeah, there's a TV show in the 80s that Sidney Poitier was not in, but he was in the both. There's a sequel, they call me Mr. Tibbs, which is a sequel, and then The Organization, which is another sequel that he was both in. They both did not do as well as In the Heat of the Night.
Was all about, like, the character, Mr. Tibbs.
Yeah, it would just yeah. Virgil Tibbs would just go to like different cities and just like he'd be like, I think he worked for like the Philadelphia police in like the original one, and he like ended up in like the South for that one. But then he would just like end up in like San Francisco or like Chicago, or like he would just end up in like a different city and help like whatever like local police solve whatever crime's happening. And then yeah, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner was also a huge one.
I've never seen the original. I feel like I need to see that.
The Defiant Ones is also a really cool like movie. It's like he and Tony Curtis are like handcuffed together and they escape from like this like chain gang and they're like on the run together.
Never seen that one.
And yeah, but like a bunch of other stuff, like he was in Sneakers. That was one of his later 90s roles. He was like I think he was kind of like the men like a like kind of a mentor kind of person to like the group. Like he was like the like he referred like the two like kind of leaders of everybody.
Yeah, he's sort of like the straight man in the group. Like, he's not
Yeah.
the technical, so he's just like all business.
Yeah, he's also in The Jackal, like the Bruce
Almost
Willis
the same type of character
Richard Gere,
from, yeah, same type of character from Sneakers. Just like, he's just telling them what to do.
And then as far as directing, he directed like a bunch like very very kind of like random like he has a very eclectic like directing career. Like he directed Stir Crazy, like the Gene Wilder Richard Pryor movie. He directed Fast Forward, which was kind of like definitely has been kind of like forgotten compared to like the other like kind of breakdancing dance like 80s like kind of dance movie. It's sort of like it's very it's definitely like it's sort of like Fame or like Break-In or something, but it's like this like New York City like dance competition movie.
Okay.
It's like a super deep cut of like that like sort of like 80s like dance genre. But he directed that one. He directed Ghost Dad. He directed Uptown Saturday Nights. And yeah, a couple, a bunch of other ones. And yeah, just a bunch of other like seven, six, definitely 60s and 70s. Like it was kind of like. Definitely peak where as far as acting too, like that was like he won the Oscar in 1963 for Lilies of the Field was the movie he won that for.
I mean, give
Yeah.
him credit. Like he just was in things. Like he, all these he did
Yeah.
like comedies. He did action. Even though he didn't do a lot of action, he was just in them.
But yeah, definitely check out if you have not seen In the Heat of the Night, check that out because that's like one of the best movies. Like, it's AFI one. It's one of the AFI top 100 movies, but also just like this like really just great like police procedural with like a lot of like social commentary going on in it. Yeah, and the fight ones is really good and yeah, definitely. I mean, Sneakers is great. Is always great. So. Yeah, definitely check out some Sidney Poitier movies if you've not seen those recently or at all. So yeah, both those guys leave huge holes in the world of entertainment. But moving on, we got a couple trailers, a couple of horror trailers to talk about. So we got a trailer for X, which is the latest movie from Ty West, who has not made a horror movie since 2013. I think the last movie he made was 2013's The Sacrament, but he also made The House of the Devil, Innkeepers, and like VHS. He was a like I think he was like a producer and like directed a segment of the original VHS and ABC's of Death. He was involved in with it as well. But yeah, very very critically acclaimed horror director. But it's definitely been a while since he directed a horror movie. He's been dabbling in TV a lot recently. But yeah, he's back. So he's back for X, which is it basically looks like it's like Texas Chainsaw Massacre mixed with like Boogie Nights.
Yeah, that's a good description for it. I
Because
saw
it's
that when he posted it online. I was like, yeah, that's exactly what this is.
yeah, because it's basically it looks like it's set in the 70s, and it's basically this film crew is goes to like this like remote barn in like the South to shoot a porno. And then they find out that the farm they're on has like the wife of the farmer is like very like mentally unstable and like is like killing them starts killing them all or like something else is going on as well like there's some like dark stuff going on while they're shooting this porno movie.
It wasn't
Yeah, I
like
mean.
modern day where you just want to shoot a porn, don't do any research of where you're shooting it.
Yeah. Like I guess the movie's called like The Farmer's Daughter or something, so they need to be in like a remote country location, I guess, or something. So,
Oh, they got it.
but yeah, I mean, yeah, it looks like it has like the setting is definitely Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and then yeah, like just like the 70s kind of porn industry stuff is like very Boogie Nights, and then you just mash them together.
Yeah, very porn on film, trying to do everything like low budget. Also, I got the vibe that like it's meta. It's like a meta movie because they make fun of like genre things, and then they
Yeah,
didn't stand a line where it's like, oh, you can't just change the plot of the movie halfway through and just like, they did now.
yeah, and I feel like it seems like quote unquote plot of the porno is gonna be like probably like very meta too. Like they're like it'll like foreshadow things that are gonna happen later. Like it's gonna like it's like oh this is like a reference they don't realize it's gonna, like they're gonna reference something they realize it's gonna like happen to someone later or something.
Yeah, I bet you some of the methods they use will probably come back again.
Because yeah, there's like it's like there's like a line of like oh well, Daddy's gonna be very upset with you or something. So. But yeah, it definitely looks interesting, and it's A24. So if you're an A24 fan, like this is probably gonna be your next big one to keep an eye out for. And it's gonna be March 18th in theaters, so you can check that out when that comes out. And then on the slightly lighter side of horror, we got the trailer for Studio 666, which is the Foo Fighters movie, there where the Foo Fighters are starring as themselves, and it's gonna be a horror comedy. And it's basically set up is that the Foo Fighters are like trying to record their 10th album, and they for like inspiration they like rent this like creepy mansion in Los Angeles, and then it turns out that it's like possessed, it has like demons in it, or like it's some sort of dark forces are happening, and then Dave Grohl gets like possessed by demons.
Is this another like weird metaphor? Do they try to make a porn too, and this is what they get? Like this year is don't make porn and don't do porn where you shouldn't be making porn and don't record music in like areas that aren't real studios.
So Dave gets possessed, and then so like I guess I th it seems like he's actually killing members of the band, or trying to kill the members of the band, and then also like random people that show up.
Oh man, Dave Grohl, big fan of I'm looking
Yeah,
like an axe to the face.
but it also definitely feels like in line with like what they were doing with like Tenacious D or like their like music videos. Like it definitely has that like goofy. Like it's like you can definitely tell what they're like referencing, and it's also just like it has this like goofy charm to it.
Yeah, I
And
mean,
also, and
not.
also, and also like making fun of themselves. I love that joke where like Dave's just like, "Hey guys, I just saw this new riff. It's like the riff from Everlong." And you're like, "Dave, it's Everlong. You wrote it 25 years ago." And yeah, and then along with the band, there's also like community actor, like other actors like Whitney Cummings and Will Forte and Jenna Ortega and Jeff Garlin are in it.
Well, it's cool that like it's not just the band. It's kind of like they got support.
Yeah, it makes it more of like an actual movie, not just like some just like weird Foo Fighters project. I mean, still like a kind of like weird Foo Fighters project, but yeah, it's gonna be in theaters. I mean, it's not like some like web thing or something. It's a full movie that they decided to make. So, and it's gonna be February 25th in theaters. You can check that out. It looks fun. It looks like it's just goofy fun, especially if you're like a big Foo Fighters fan. It looks like there's gonna be like a lot of like fun references to like their other music or like their other albums, and just like seeing them like just hanging out and like possibly getting killed by Dave Grohl. And Dave Grohl seems like he's having a blast, so.
Yeah, I imagine him having a great time because it's like he's never like he. When you see him in movies, it's always fun. His cameos or just like, is that Dave Grohl
Yeah.
in the background? Like, you know, it's definitely like nice to see him get his own time to shine, but now
Yeah.
he's like the villain.
Yeah.
I just remember his role in like the Muppets where he was like the other animal.
Yes. And he's also the devil in the Tenacious D movie.
I also feel like this was like a leftover plot from a Tenacious D movie.
Like the sequel, it's like, oh, that Tenacious D ends up in like this mansion that's like
Yep.
haunted, but now it's like the actual Foo Fighters. But yeah, so that'd be out in like basically a little over a month. So you can check that out when that comes out. And then jumping into some other news, we got news about a so we I think we talked like a couple weeks ago about there's gonna be a Disney Plus Zorro show with Wilmer Valderrama starring as Zorro, and now we have a rival Zorro show. I believe I'm sure this is all because Zorro is in like the public domain, I believe, so you can just use whatever you want with Zorro. But Robert Rodriguez is producing a Zorro show for the CW. And it's gonna
What?
be a female reboot of Zorro. So like basically like a young Latina woman is seeking revenge for her father's murder, and she joins a secret society and becomes Zorro.
You mean Batwoman?
Yeah, basically.
I'm just like, it's Batwoman again.
Well, I mean, who knows what's gonna happen with that CW sale? So like, they might all the Arrowverse shows might go to HBO Max or something. So they need some stuff to fill
Or
in.
even more hilarious, Disney buys them, so now just like CW presented by Disney.
Yeah.
I can see like a dumb move on that.
But yes, and no, like yeah, we don't know who this young female Zorro is gonna be yet. But yeah, Robert Rodriguez is gonna be producing it, and I think he's also writing it with his sister Rebecca Rodriguez. So they're gonna be writing it and producing it together. And it will be on the CW at some point in the future here. So like, maybe. So we'll just keep an eye out. It's gonna be interesting if both those shows come out like almost exact same time, and just like the
Compete.
Disney Zorro and like this one. The Disney one seems like it's gonna be much more traditional, like period Zorro. Like it's that one sounds like it's gonna be more of like Mask of Zorro style. And this one seems like a modern like spin on like Zorro or something.
I'm fine with modern take. I'm fine with the fact that it's like, a new character, but as long as they don't get in that hacker plot, the one that was like the pilot one where it's like,
Well, that's like a someone's trying to make that a movie or something. I don't who knows what the hell that one's gonna be, but like
Jesus.
at least these shows sound like more of like, all right, this is actually Zorro, not just like some weird like hacker who names himself Z0RRR0, like,
Right.
so yeah, so we found out about that this week, and we also found out some news about the Raid English remake that they've been talking about since the Raid came out. There's like they've been talking about like, oh, there's gonna be like a English language version of the Raid at some point. And we got news this week that Netflix is going to be bringing this Raid remake out, and Michael Bay is going to be producing it.
Still weird.
Yeah, and it's going to be in it's going to be set in like Philadelphia, and in the drug-infested Badlands area, and it's an elite DEA task force that's like push into like their like the neighborhood, and like because they're trying to take down a drug kingpin.
I also heard that like the people of Philly are like, no, like don't make that, don't actually name it like Philly and all that. Like, keep it a nameless city.
Yeah, is there an area of Philly called the Badlands?
It's like refer to it. I
Okay.
mean, Kensington area is pretty rough. If you Google Kensington, there's like a bunch of YouTubers who drive around that area, and it looks like it's crime and drug infested. It's really depressing. It's just like in this one zone, and it doesn't really do well for the image, but Philly also hasn't like done any. It doesn't. Also, there's no money. Like, it's not like, oh, the city just ignores it. There's just no money to like help anything. So now like this movie's coming in to shoot about how shitty it is. It's kind of like when movies were shitting on Detroit, and then Detroit kind of cleaned up a little bit over time, but this area has just been historically shitty. So it's funny because in the local area of Philly, like they're just like, no, like do not like make the stigma worse, because all it does is gonna cause like more issues. But we'll see what happens. Like
Yeah.
I'm fine with them not actually. There's no like power to calling it like Philly, like a drug infested area of Philly, which is like, yeah, I know it's real, but you don't have to like I don't know, stylize it. I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence. I mean, I'm not really. I'm like, please don't call it that way because it's like not a great thing for the community. But I can also see where they try to like make it like relatable. It's just like, this is what they want to relate. Do you want to come see the raid like historical site?
Yeah.
One day it'll be like the Airbnb stay at the raid house. This movie does like gangbusters.
And so it's gonna be directed by Patrick Hughes, who directed Expendables 3 along with The Hitman's Bodyguard and Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard. So he'll be directing The Raid, whatever they're called. I don't know if they're gonna call it just The Raid again, or they're gonna call it like something else. And
The rude.
the like a, the whatever the Philly accent ca like call it The Raid. The gritty raid.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
And no release date on this one, but yeah, I guess keep an eye on Netflix, keep an eye on the news, and we'll see when this new version of the raid comes out. I mean, they gotta get like, I mean, you gotta get like some martial art, you gotta get like Scott Adkins in there or something. You have to like have someone who like can at least like approach like Iko Uwais level.
Yeah. It'd be weird if they didn't.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess we'll see about that. And then we also got news this week that there's gonna be a Final Destination 6 is on the way apparently. With John Watts, who directed all the current Spider-Man trilogy for the MCU and Sony, is gonna be a producer on it. And yeah, I guess, and it's gonna be an HBO Max exclusive. It's gonna be HBO Max original movie. And no, like exact plot that details yet, but like it's safe to assume like a new group is like cheats death and then gets killed by it and crazy Rube Goldberg machines basically. So it's a very simple formula. If it just comes with some like really clever like kill sequences, then I'm sure everyone will be satisfied by it.
Yeah, I think it's the premise and then the gimmick. Because usually the gimmick of the last few have been always like the like big first pill, the like the one that sets it off.
You have to nail the opening thing where everyone gets killed, and then you have to like come up with some clever like later like for, like other like for that when they actually get killed by like the accidents or whatever. Those have to be pretty like just come up with some clever things for those.
And then it's the like, haha, nice try, asshole, like rules
Yeah.
that they need to like make. Because I think like the other Final Destination, the one where like they're on that like NASCAR, not NASCAR, but like some race car thing, and then the end is like the bridge. It was like this big, oh no, the NASCAR one's another one, so it's the
No,
bridge.
there was there it was like it was the first one was the plane crash, obviously. Then the second one was the probably the best one,
Traffic
which is like
jam.
the traffic accident. And then it was the roller coaster in three,
Four
and
was
then four was the bridge.
the bridge. No, four was the NASCAR one, or
Was for the
the
NASCAR one?
yeah, the bridge one was the last one.
Yeah, I saw like I'm trying to remember which one. I saw the first three. I think four was in theaters when I worked at the movie theater, so I definitely saw like large chunks of it, but I never saw the whole thing. I just like walked in and like saw like an exit, like a scene, and like walked out. Well, cause and also cause like four was called The Final Destination. It wasn't called Final Destination 4. It was like because they're like, oh, this is the last one. And then they made five. Okay, four was the NASCAR race.
The five was the bridge.
Five was the bridge, yeah.
Yeah, 2009 was the like early 2006 beyond era before 2012 was adding the to things.
Yeah. And I think five was the one that was playing when I was worked at the movie theater. So I definitely remember that like that
That's
because
the
like.
bridge, yeah.
And that's the one that has Miles Fisher in it. That's all you're saying. I remember that one. It's like Miles Fisher and like David Koechner and like It's most random cast, and then they also did, like, the most random, like, promotional thing ever for that movie, where they did,
Saved by the
Saved by the
Bell.
Bell, like, parody. Yeah.
Miles Fisher's criminally like underrated, so
Yeah.
I wish he was in more things. But yeah, five was the one where they made the new rule where if you kill someone, you skip a turn.
But wasn't there, like, wasn't didn't they introduce a thing where, like, if you killed someone, you stole their time or something, or, like, you got
That's
their,
five.
like, that was five? Okay.
Three was if you no, three. Two and three still did the roulette thing where like or the like turns where it's like if you avoided it then it's the next person.
It's like, the first couple were like, if you can escape the death trap that, like, death creates for you, then you're good. Then you're good. It skips you and it goes to the next person. But then they started adding twists of, like, oh yeah, like, yeah, like five, yeah, five was like, oh, if you kill someone, then you get their life plus your life. You get like whatever time they had left plus your time.
Yeah, then it's always like some innocent person. I now and then there's always like in two they're like, oh, we need to save a life, and that's how you skip a turn.
Yeah.
Three was of the movies. It's three was like just like one where it's like, no, you can't escape it. There's nothing that you can do to avoid it. Like there was no like, oh, some sort of like. Payment. This is just like how long can you last? The Final Destination, no, in number four, I think was also back to like basics where you can't stop it. So I haven't seen number four a lot. I caught it on TV, but five I watched more than four. That was the one where like if I kill the other survivors, I get more time or whatever.
And five also reveals that, like, five is a prequel to one.
Yeah, that was the big. I like that. Something like I appreciate Five's big twist to like kind of tie in the series. So I think that was pretty fun. Now it's six. We're just like, all right, we're just rebooting it basically again.
I think that's yeah, I think they're gonna just do, like, a reboot of, like, it's like, I mean, there's not really a lot of continuity to the station. It's not Saw or something, but yeah, they're just gonna be, like, clean slate, like, just another Final Destination movie, like. So that'll be on HBO Max probably sometime in the near future here, so keep an eye out for that one. And then we also got some news about Red Notice, which is one of the biggest Netflix movies of all time. And apparently Netflix is going all in on Red Notice because they're gonna shoot two sequels back to back for Red Notice. So Red Notice 2 and 3 are coming very soon. They're shooting them both at the same time.
I feel like that, like Netflix doubled down on that out of spite. People are like, yeah, this isn't that great. They're like, how dare you? We're making more.
Yeah. We're turning it to we're, Netflix has become the Red Notice network. It's just all Red Notice and Red Notice spin-offs and prequels and animated series. Yeah, I forget what the numbers were, but yeah, it was definitely one of the first, like, it was definitely the, I think it was, like, the most watched thing during its, like, opening weekend on Netflix ever, and then it's, like, one of the biggest movies of all time ever on Netflix now too, so.
I mean, just because I guess people kept talking about it, and it's got high profile actors, so people were bound to like kind of like watch it.
Yep,
But it's
and
definitely a
it's
movie I don't need to see like more than once, It's like, all right.
no, yeah, and it's gonna be. It looks like they're gonna start maybe shooting these sequels in, like, 2023, just because, like, other, like, all three stars are, like, very, are, like, insanely busy, so they like it's gonna be at least 2 years before they're, like, available to, like, shoot the sequels.
Also, didn't Ryan Reynolds like want to take a break?
I don't know. He's got so much stuff coming up.
He's like, oh, I want to take a break from acting and stuff. And I'm like, oh, okay, I guess.
Yeah. But yeah, if you're a fan of Red Notice, there's lots more on the way. Although they're not going like full Army of the Dead, where they're like it's gonna be like we're doing random prequels and spin-offs and animated movies and all sorts of other like stuff. Like they're just doing movies. We're not getting like the like Interpol agents like spin-off show or something.
What was that supposed to be in the works?
No, I'm just saying like that's like if they're going like full Army of Dead, that's because
Ah, I see.
Army of Dead's getting so like it's getting like the there's still like an anime show on the way. There's like I think a prequel live action show to Army of the Dead on the way or something, or like a prequel sequel movie or something. I don't know. There's like way more Army of the Dead stuff than you would expect on the way. Which
That I understand.
I feel like people have already forgotten that movie came out last year. Like they're like, oh wait, Army of the Dead that came out. Oh yeah, that came out last year. And like no one talked about the spin-off or the prequel that came out, like the Army of Thieves movie.
I still need to see that. I feel like it could just be like neutral where it's okay, but I'm fine with that just being okay.
Yeah, I think I heard it was just like a decent like heist movie. Which is like better, like a well, which makes it a better heist movie than Army of the Dead, because Army of the Dead was like a terrible heist movie, because there's like no heisting in it really at all. So we also this week found out that there's going to be a Real Steel TV show coming to Disney Plus. It's going to be a Disney Plus original series. And director Shawn Levy is going to be back to executive produce the show. And I guess because like the original it has to be because the original movie was a Fox movie or something, and now Disney owns Fox, so they own Real Steel.
So they're like, all right, we can just sort of make more of this.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think there's any confirmation that like Hugh Jackman's gonna be back or anything. So I don't know if this is gonna be like a new. Like new characters in the world of Real Steel, like they're like a new father son team that have a robot, or like some other group that has a robot or something.
I mean,
But
okay, so the world of Real Steel is interesting. I do enjoy the world. I don't need to see the same characters. Like,
yeah, I think
are you agreeing with me like that? Like the
yeah, they fulfilled their like arc in the first movie. Like they did the Rocky arc. They went the distance. They got the respect. Everyone loves them. Like that's that they've set out with. They didn't win the championship. But, like that's the only thing that would be left to do is like they need like Hugh Jackman and his son need to like win the championship or whatever, or like the belts. But that's like the only thing left for them to do. But yeah, I would yeah, just like some other team or like some other like or just like follow just a whole like season of like the robot fighting league or something and just like a different fight every week and just like follow all the characters in the league or something. Because you barely like saw any other teams in that movie. You just followed Hugh Jackman, and then you got this, and then like the evil team with that had like Zeus at the end.
I do enjoy the like father-son aspect of that, but it wasn't exactly the selling point because Hugh Jackman was just like, oh, I'm a shitty father, but if I win, I can afford to take care of my kid. And
Yeah.
then if you try to make a TV show, it's like, so are they gonna reboot the whole show about that? I'm
I think
fine
that
with that because that's a Disney thing, but I can also, I hope they just jump over to the world, you know?
it could also do like I think the original because it's based on like a Richard Matheson short story.
Yeah, but it was like a guy picking up the robot parts and boxing as the robot.
Yes, which that's the show should be is like a guy who's actually like in like a robot suit like that no one knows he's like a guy in a suit and like winning the like fighting in the tournament or something. But yeah, I guess we'll have to see what goes on with this. It's good. I'm sure this seems like it's gonna be a couple of years off because like there's so much Disney Plus stuff like already like announced for like this year. Like it's definitely not this year or like even like maybe next year. Like this is probably a couple years off for Disney Plus. But
More stuff down the pipe.
yeah. But if you haven't seen Real Steel yet, like go check it out, because it's actually like super super fun. It's robotic Rocky, but like if you love Rocky, you'll love Real Steel. It even has like evil robot Ivan Drago, and that's who he fights basically at the end.
But it's like super Japanese
Yeah.
robotic Drago.
So other TV news, there is a new Arrowverse series in development over the CW. You know, the kind of like the future of the CW is like in flux, but apparently we might get a John Diggle some sort of spin-off or series where Dave Ramsey's going to be leading the show. Although it sounds exactly like the Boys spin-off, because it's basically this Arrowverse show is called Justice U, and it's basically Diggle basically like recruits a team of like five like young metahumans, and then sends them like undercover at like a college,
What?
and then he's like training them to become superheroes while they're at college or something.
Does he have a kid to take care of? I don't. Why is he doing this?
Yeah, he's supposed to be like working at Argus. Like he also might be the Green Lantern. Like he's like supposed to be the Green Lantern, and then he like kind of said like, "Nah, I don't want to be Green Lantern."
Wait, did he get offered the ring and he's just like, no?
They implied it like the last episode of like Arrow. Or was it Crisis, the end of Crisis, or end of like Green Arrow? I think basically he I think yeah he basically found like the Green Lantern ring, and then he's like he's basically no, I can't take the responsibility. I have to like care for my family, so he did not
Then
become the Green Lantern. Yeah,
it's like he doesn't at all now.
He did not become Green Lantern. Now he's just gonna like train a bunch of like kids to be superheroes, I guess. It's like the exact same plot that spin off of The Boys, where it's like it felt like it set like the Vought like college.
Herogasm.
Yeah. So and
Or
then
no,
also.
not Herogasm. Herogasm is the sex island. Yeah, it's like the college thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like it's kind of take on like young justice sort of, or so it's like it was an all guys like dorm. Was a good arc. It's a side story. It's not like really needed. It's more just like this really fucked up like sub organization within Vault that's like that like you meet there Charles Xavier and he's just like this gigantic like manipulative asshole. It's pretty good. Like you don't see that character for a while, but in this, I feel like what's the goal? Is that they just want to just have young warriors on hand? Is there an
Yeah, is
evil
yeah
supervillain
is
college?
yeah is the college evil? Is that why Diggle's sending them like undercover at the college? He's like, you gotta go undercover at this evil college.
They're trying to 21 Jump Street this place? Like.
Yeah. Oh my God. If it was like a tw like Arrow versus 21 Jump Street, that'd be amazing.
I mean, that's what it sounds like. And I'm like, but I mean,
All they're like.
this exists in a world already where there's superheroes. So why can't a superhero just bust in and just stop whatever, you know?
Yeah. And all the college kids in your groups are like 40 years old. It's like you gotta go undercover. And also like, but also like, who, like this, like there's probably a good chance this might not even like make it to like air, because there have been two other like Arrowverse shows that like they're like, oh yeah, this is gonna be a spin-off series, and like then CW is just like, nah, we're gonna cancel this. We're not even gonna air this, because they're supposed to be like they're supposed to be the Green Arrow and the Canaries spin-off. With like Oliver's like daughter from the future was supposed to be
Right,
like the
right.
Green Arrow, and then like the she teamed up with like the Black Canaries, and they were in the future, and that never got picked up. And then there's supposed to be a Painkiller spinoff from Black Lightning that also like got canceled. So who knows? I mean, they're developing it right now, but this might not even make it to like past the pilot stage, that we and then we might not even see the pilot ever. So I guess keep an eye out, and then also this like CW getting sold news could also just like totally like destroy the entire network or something. So we don't know. Everything about the CW is just like in the air kind of right now. So
I don't know, maybe I can own CW.
yeah, just get do it like a Kickstarter to like raise the money to buy the CW. And then last bit of news for this week is that we found out there's gonna be a Quantum Leap reboots at NBC. They did order a pilot for it. And it's gonna be it's coming from the La Brea showrunner, so that fills me with like lots of dread because La Brea is fucking awful.
Have you seen it more than beyond the pilot?
No, I was like, I'm done. This is the worst thing I've ever seen. So yeah, I've not seen any. I watched the first episode of La Brea, and I was like, I have no time for this. I have no time to even hate watch this. So it's those guys plus Martin Garrow, who created and show ran Blind Spot. Or so the all stars of NBC are teaming up for this new Quantum Leap. And it's gonna be it's actually gonna be a sequel to the original series. So it's gonna be 30 years since Sam Beckett disappeared, and there's a new team who is like picking up like the research, like the Quantum Leap Accelerator research, and are trying to figure out like the mysteries behind it, and like try to like bring Sam Beckett back at some point. Although Scott Bakula has not been confirmed to like return at all.
I feel like you don't even need to have Scott back. I mean, it'd be better if they had it, but if they just found him as like another actor, that also works because it's been so long where it's like, oh yeah, he leapt into this other body and now he's back in this other. You know what I mean? Like the concept was he was able to just insert himself in other people. So it's like, oh no, I am him. Just I look different. All right.
Yeah. It's got to be like whoever this new team, like someone on this new team has to like get caught in the machine again, and, like get like quantum leaped around to different places, right? That's got to be the premise of the new one. Like
That's the whole premise, yeah.
they're gonna be like,
How is it not that?
and then they might have some sort of new twist on like where they can like
Like,
I don't know,
approximate things a lot better. I
they
also
can
feel like if the
control it
last
somewhat
person
or
who,
yeah.
yeah, but if you're the last person who made the quantum leap thing, or did he invent the quantum leap, or he was the test experiment?
I think he was like the main like scientist on it. Like that was like his like it was like Sam Beckett's project that he was working on. Then he got caught like and he tried to like I think he tried to test it on himself, but because they always do that. And then he like got like it went haywire and then he got like launched across time and space.
Okay, so my complaint is if the head scientist is gone from the old experiment, don't try the experiment again.
Yeah.
I just feel like that's a good rule of
They're
thumb. And
just
then,
there's like we're hip young scientists. We can make this work when they could. We have better technology now.
and oh no, it happened again.
Yeah.
That's my like, oh, bad science gone out of control. But another thing, wasn't his helper guy,
Yeah, Ziggy or
yep,
something.
Ziggy, yeah,
He
like
was just like a hologram, I think. Like
he was a
I think,
computer.
yeah, he was able to, yeah, he like, cause like Sam Beckett, like he would like leap into someone's body and then, but he would like, everyone was like, you would see him as Scott Bakula, but everyone in like that time period would see him as like whoever he'd leaped into, and then yeah, he could talk to Ziggy, but no one could see Ziggy. Only Scott Bakula could see Ziggy.
But the thing is, like, wouldn't the Ziggy computer also tell the current day people or the future people, it's like, this didn't work, please don't do this again?
Yeah. Well, the sad, unfortunate thing is that Dean Stockwell died last year, so he would
Well, no,
not.
I know. But I'm
Yeah,
saying in
so.
general, wouldn't the like Quantum Leap machine be like, hey, we still didn't find Scott, like, or you know,
Sam Beckett, yeah.
Sam
Well,
Beckett.
that was like the craziest thing. Like there was like the last thing you saw of ever of Quantum Leap was like, and Sam Beckett never returned home. That was the
Super
last thing you
fucking
saw.
sad.
Yeah. He has kept leaving.
It is out there somewhere.
Oh no, Ziggy was a. Dean Stockwell was not Ziggy. Dean Stockwell was Al,
Oh, okay.
who could like yeah. I think he could like appear, yeah. He could appear as like a hologram to, and then he's only visible to Sam Beckett. Like no one else can see him, and he can like he was also able to like interface with like Ziggy, who's like a supercomputer back in like the future that could like tell them what to do, or like what era they're in, and like what they need to like do to like leap out of there.
I'm saying, like, wouldn't he tell the future or the present people, like, don't do this?
Yeah, he never came back, guys. Like,
Do you not see the end credits?
yeah, he ended up in like a weird like limbo that might have been heaven or something. He might have died and went to heaven or something. Because that was like the whole like crazy thing too. It was like last episode, like he doesn't le like he like is like he doesn't leap into anyone. He's just like himself, and then. He's in like a weird, it's like a Wild West town or something, and then like, and he like talks to a bartender who might be God or something. It's just like the last episode of Quantum Leap is insane. And yeah, then just it ends on the like dark note of just like, and he never came back.
We don't know where he is.
Yeah, they never found him. But yeah, maybe they'll finally solve the mystery on this new Quantum Leap show. And then, so I guess keep an eye on NBC in like a lot around like upfront time. We'll see when this comes to NBC if it does. So that is it for news this week. So why don't you jump in the show and tell? And Chris, you saw The Matrix Resurrections finally.
Yes, I did. I'll talk about it because,
Yeah. There's
oh man, you
because
did not
there's
prepare me for how meta this movie was gonna get.
yeah I definitely tried to like just like not, like I try to be
Without
vague
spoiling,
yeah
it is.
because I saw well actually we I don't we never got the chance to talk about it on the podcast yet because the week it came out like we put up our Home Sweet Home Alone commentary, so we never got actually got to talk about it when it came out, so this is like the first
Oh,
time
you
we're
never did?
talking about it.
Yeah, I appreciate you not mentioning how insanely like meta and kind of like artsy in a way this movie is. Because if you think of it as like a self-destructive film from a creator who just like don't touch my work ever again, like if you're going to, I'm gonna do it in a way you'll never be able to recover.
Well,
Like
no, it's literally like the line that like Jonathan Groff says, where it's just like they formed Warner Bros. Informed us we're gonna make it without you. Like that was that's literally what Warner Bros. Said to like Lana Wachowski. They're like, we're gonna make this movie. You can be involved with it, or we're just gonna make it without you. And then she was
But
like,
then even
all
with
right,
the with Lana
I guess I'll have
involved,
to.
wouldn't some sort of exec see that cut and be like, we have to stop production because like this is intentionally going to she's going to intentionally like
I
sink
wonder.
this franchise.
I bet they just were just like, she, like the creator's back. Like we're just gonna let her do whatever she wants, and as long as we get a new Matrix movie, we don't care. So,
But no one in like a story editing someone who took like a college course in like story, you know, like if it's a commentary and like trying to kill, like you kill your project the way it should be killed, or like in a way where like it can never be come back to you and create like some fandom, like hats off, like it is such an art house of a like production to trick people into like making like not even trick people like guide people into like stop liking the Matrix. You know, like
Well, yeah, because it doesn't give you like anything. Like if you're expecting like, oh, this is just gonna be like another like super stylish action movie, and just like, no, it is not.
it is. Yeah. The I'm gonna say I wrote some notes down. So I wrote down I was like, wow, the trailer does not actually tell you the whole movie.
Yeah,
It's
it's.
it starts like an anime. It feels like one of those like meta animes. It's like, well, you don't know who you are. You got like an identity crisis. But then when they start following the Matrix, it becomes like a parody of the Matrix of just what's going on. Like, okay, so I'm trying to figure out where like Neo at some point wrote a Morpheus code just in case something like this situation ever happened where he was absorbed into the Matrix. Which,
Yeah,
when
which
did he do that?
yeah,
Like
yeah, what
that open terminal thing? What the fuck was that about?
or he like subconsciously still remembered that he was Neo, and then he wrote that like modal just in case,
Yeah,
like he
what the
somehow,
fuck's the modal?
yeah, Which is it's just like scenes from the first movie just being like played on a loop apparently or something. Because it's literally like the opening sequence of the first movie again. That's how this movie opens. Movie opens with like a shot for shot recreation of like the first shot, like the opening sequence of like The Matrix.
Which is fine, because again, I didn't mind that. It was a nice, interesting little opening. I was kind of like, what is happening? Who are these characters? Who are these new versions of the agents? That's fine. So then I thought, okay, maybe, like, you have one of three possibilities. Like, you in the Matrix code, like, sometimes you're an Agent Smith, sometimes you're the one, sometimes you're a Morpheus. And I thought it was like a metaphor where, like, yeah, at one point, like, the one was also an agent, and then he learned to break free. And then, like, at the other times, like, they're connected in a way. I thought that was like a metaphor where maybe, like, Morpheus, once in a previous lifetime and cycle, was an agent, and then Agent Smith was a Morpheus. And then now, like, it takes turns. That would have been a smart twist, right? None of that's used. None of that is even like
It's just
relevant anymore.
Neo just programmed this like new Morpheus to be part Morpheus, part Smith, because those are the two like people that like helped make it like create make him the person that he is or something.
That doesn't make any sense, because
And
like the Smith part makes no goddamn sense.
I guess the Smith part is that he's like more sarcastic than Lawrence Fishburne or
Smith wasn't supposed
something.
to be sarcastic.
Yeah.
It seemed like that's a whole new take, but I'm like, why is he like. Because this Morpheus is like got jokes,
Yeah. Like
but
he's
it's
like
like
he's like he's like he's like quoting along with like the scenes from the original Matrix and then going to like blah 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 wah wah whatever whatever like
that caught me off guard. I actually do appreciate that, especially the way I watched it. I appreciate watching like those kind of like subtle like, oh, it's becoming funny now. Like you think it's gonna be serious because the original Matrix wasn't like funny. Like it had some comedy moments, but it was like to break up the like action and then kind of the drama. There
Yeah.
is no drama, so now it's like they throw comedy in just to like be funny, but it's like a like sitcom kind
That
of level.
the brainstorming montage like almost broke me. I was just like, "Oh my God, I hate this."
Oh, let's go back a scene. Before the brainstorming montage, he has that like coworker who's like the nerdy like
Yeah.
gamer guy. I fucking hate that guy.
Yes.
They're like, oh, that's a bitch you want to like, rape or something. I was like, what? What's happening? Like, huh?
Yeah.
And I think you mentioned that this is like a movie that like kind of insults like the Matrix fans. It
Well,
kind of like makes fun of you for liking the Matrix. Like, this is who like people like think are the Matrix 4, so it's like they're making fun of the fans of the Matrix.
Yeah, cuz like the whole breakdown scene is just like, what is the Matrix? Like what is the like essence of the Matrix, and then just like we gotta make a new bullet time. It's all about guns.
Oh,
Like,
during that scene, I thought I was watching someone slipped in clips of Bill and Ted, like with like Keanu Reeves doing like old man karate like in his house and then like sitting on the
yeah.
toilet. I was like, am I watching a Bill and Ted clip? What's happening over here?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I get the meta jokes, but it got to the point where it seemed like it went up its own ass of
I just
like.
I also I also I was just like so confused about like why they decided to make it a game. Like they so in this new world, the Matrix trilogy is a game. Or a series of a trilogy of games, but then they use footage from the movies as game footage. So it's like, how are you controlling this? Like what like is are we in the future so we can have like movie like realistic graphics like
Yeah, the world was
which
just like, oh, you don't even see what the game is even playing on. It's like, oh, I make this game. Cool, I know that game. Yeah, I read the box cover and but like they were just like mentioning shit about this game. I'm like, are we even seeing the game? Like what's happening?
When they show like clips from the movie like when they show clips from like the original movie
That's supposed to be the game.
that's supposed to be the game
But
but
it's
it's just
just
but it's a movie it's
yeah,
like
it's movie. It's like cutscenes. It's like that's not a game. You're showing me
which is
nothing.
Which is baffling to me because like the Wachowskis are like seem like they're like very like up on gaming and like what games should be. Like they were like super involved in like the actual like Matrix games. So it's like they should know like what games are. Like,
but you see, that just proves my point where like Lana purposely made like a terrible plot point just because she could and just make sure that like you don't get to want more of this.
Yeah, I forget where I read it or heard it somewhere, but I saw someone said they should have like just went even more meta and said like, oh, the Matrix trilogy was actually movies, and then like Keanu's playing Keanu.
That would have been better. That would have been like funnier in a way where you see him have like a mental break where he can't tell between the Matrix like fantasy and then the Matrix like real, and that's a great way to break him. Mm-hmm. But because then he had that like freak out moment where he couldn't tell because his game design is so good and he's like up his own. He was like, oh, he got suicidal. He got suicidal at like the video game awards, like an actual award.
Yeah,
I wrote that down saying like, does the VGAs make you kind of crazy? Because he won an award and then wanted to jump off a roof and then. Yeah. He was on suicide watch, but how did he survive like a 12-story fall or an attempt to the, you know, like they didn't try to explain that.
Yeah. And then seeing someone leap off a building like inspired Bugs to be like, she's like, oh, I need to get out of the Matrix. Like, but I realized I'm in the Matrix. I saw this old programmer guy jump off a building.
I guess he flew or he didn't. I don't know. Yeah. They never finished that part. You just see he jumped, and then what? It's like, and then I don't know.
I think did the analyst say like he stopped, like he like did his time freezing thing and like put him back, like oh, no, you can't die, you know, you're, like I'm gonna put you back where you were or whatever. Like,
but then wouldn't everyone at that party see him do that? Besides Bugs, for some strange reason.
Yeah, I know. I thought that's what. I think the analyst might have implied that at some point during one of his like supervillain rants.
Neil Patrick Harris wasn't bad. Again, I didn't mind him, but that like that's the least of the problems. If he was just a problem, I would point it out. But this movie's got other issues.
Yeah, like the action is terrible.
Action's fine. It's definitely not.
It's serviceable, but like for a Matrix movie that like the Matrix like redefined action, like it's
oh, this
like
did not.
Yeah, it's like
right. You got a good point.
And also like Keanu's making the fucking John Wick movies, like he's making like four right now, or like Chad Stahelski's like has a cameo in this movie, like it's like
yeah, but you gotta pay. You want to choreograph that fight and get, you know, Keanu Reeves into fighting shape. That's gonna cost money, but the insane thing, this movie costs more money than the previous movies, and it looks worse.
Yes, it looks super cheap. It looks like a CW show or something.
So,
and then the only thing Neo really does is like he does his like new force push move. That's the only thing that does like almost all the fights. Like he has like a very lame fight that's like it's supposed to be like a reflection of like the original like Smith Neo fight, but it's so like not choreographed and like
oh, shot it's shot profit. Terribly. It's shot from like overhead and like no one's doing cool flips and stuff. It's all like quick cuts. It's everything I hate about like modern action movies.
The whole sequence is so bizarre. Where, like Smith shows up and he's like, oh, by the way, the Merovingian, who's now like a
crazy hobo,
like yeah, who has like a band of like other like Mad Max style hobos with him that they fight. That like Smith just like is like these are my crew. It's the Merovingian is like gang of like wackos, like.
And they're all like Asian like programs.
Yeah.
So that was
and weird. And the Merovingian is just like cackling in the up and the raptor just like I had sequel potential like.
But that's what I'm saying. I think that's like an artsy way because he wanted the Merovingian definitely represents like rabid fandom that can't let go of shit. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Like as someone like this really clicked to me as a movie critic where you watch a kind of like plea for help by the creators and the writing team that's just like, what can we do to like just express our disinterest in all this? And they perfectly capture that. And it's not subtle, which is bizarre, because I'm like, how's this not like, how did this get passed through editing and kind of like review panel and all that, and it got like full like post-production work? Because you know what I mean,
Where,
like
like, what,
you
yeah, like, what, like, where at certain points you're just like literally saying, like, Warner Bros. Forced us to make this, like.
you do that your job. If you go to work right now and use your work email and send it to your coworkers, like, I hate my job, like, I can't believe they pay me to do this, you would get fired. So how the hell do you do that in the movie? And then it's like, it's not subtle at all. It's not. They call out Warner Brothers. They have like all the things that's like the lore, the fandom. They like turn it on its head, but in a very like obvious movement. Not even like, okay, we're gonna like do representation, we're gonna make it subtle, we're gonna gradually dump it in. No, Mayor Vinci's a hobo that he can't let go of like his past glory, and he uses the same tricks, but for some reason he has no power in this new Matrix, so he just hangs out in this clock tower or wherever they were in. Speaking of which, I don't understand how Agent Smith like totally forgot. He, I mean, I get he was reborn somehow. He's not a human though, so he would just be code, and other code gets deleted. So why did he stay around?
Why, like, if Neil Patrick Harris like created this whole Matrix, why would he put Agent Smith back in? Because like that, like he like S Smith almost destroyed like the entire like machine race in like
Yeah.
Revolutions. That was the whole like that's the whole thing of like the machines were like, all right, Neo, if you take out Smith, then we will stop trying to kill humanity or whatever. That was their whole deal. And then like you know just like, oh, we'll put Smith in, we'll make him forget he's Smith until like he gets triggered by like things happening or something. Yeah, it just like it was part of his whole like Neo and Trinity have to be like a certain very precise distance away from each other to power the Matrix, and then it's like also the Matrix like is like sloppier now or something that like people like it sloppier or something, or like they like it like being more like ref like meta or something. It's like I forget what exactly Neil Patrick Harris says about like the new Matrix, where it's just like it's not precise anymore. It's more like it's like a messier Matrix, and then people like that more.
I guess, but
It's
it's
true.
not even a
It's it's
commentary
it's
on
it's
something
it's
like
it's like
that.
it's it's true. It's like it's, this new Matrix is driven more by emotions, and like because like the Architect's Matrix was like precision and like mathematics and stuff. It was like this number of will allow this precise number of humans to like escape the Matrix, and then we'll like have the one come at this certain time and.
You know, it kind of makes the first Matrix again. Again, more make more sense about things, but now this kind of like takes a back step about that logic part, because you don't need that calculation. You can just be chaos and it's fine. Okay, so I guess we can talk about like the actual plot was that like Neo and Trinity, them alone in the Matrix powers the new Matrix. And it fulfills all the robots' needs, because the robots without Neo caused the Civil War in the like 60 years.
After Neo sacrificed himself, like apparently the machines had like some sort of civil war, and like a bunch of them like are like allies to humanity now, and they made like the new city called
No, no.
Io.
No, some robots became allies because they were the ones that like lost the war.
Yes.
Because they're the weird cutesy animal army that I laughed when I saw half. I was like,
When whatever her name is shows up and she's like a fucking like metal eagle. Like Sati, like her, like
was
her
Sati the eagle?
Yeah, like that was like her physical form, because then like the jack in tentacles came out, and then they met her inside the eagle, like that Zen Garden Well was like inside the eagle, I think.
See, I'm not clear. Like, I was so confused when that eagle shows up, then it just jumps to the well thing. I was like, what's happening? There's no transition. There's no anything. But before that, even before that, when Neo was like brought to like the ship, and then they like showed them the new robot friends. One of them was just like a little cricket bug thing, and
yeah,
I was like, this is the opposite of a gritty reboot thing, where like gritty robots, where the tentacle monster thing is.
Mm-hmm.
This is the family, like Disney friendly robots. That's just, if you are a hardcore Matrix fan, that's like all about the grit, the like drama, the like. The bleakness. When you see shit like that and it's in the same universe, you're just like, what? I would burn my Matrix coat, you know? Like, I would never wear a duster like that again. But I get it. Like, it's kind of like a nice, like, okay, we're progressing, but I never thought the Matrix would progress in that way. I didn't think there'd be animal robots that are, like, cute looking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then some robots can do, like, can speak to humans? Like, they did that, like, bullshit R2-D2, like, thing where, like, few characters can talk to robots just by noise?
Yeah.
Like, and bugs then, talk to one of them? And I was like,
and then
right.
they do, like, the programs can, like, come into the physical world as, like,
I didn't mind that. I like that. I do, see,
Nanobot pin, like, press thing, like...
I like that. That's like a progression in that universe.
Yeah.
That didn't bug me. I don't know why, it just didn't bug me. I like Eon, the story, I like the evolution of what we knew. And that's fine. I know it's comfortable, it's safe, but at least that plot-wise made sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
It fell off the rails once they try to explain the like, okay, we need Trinity because Trinity powers things by her emotions. And then if you take Trinity out, it'll be bad. So that's why they want to do a Trinity heist,
mm-hmm.
where they steal Trinity out of the pod.
And they also can't force her out. They have to have her like decide to come out herself, because if she like they force her out, then she'll like her like it'll kill her, or like her brain will like melt or whatever. So
okay. So now here's the like setup where they try to get to the analyst, and then with the help of Agent Smith, which is left field, because it's a nice surprise, I guess, but it's also like there was nothing as a bargaining thing for him.
He had no stakes. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck Smith is trying. Like, he just is like, it would have been better if like there was no Smith at all. Like, I felt like they're obligated to put Smith in there just because like it's the Matrix, we gotta have Agent Smith. But like his goals are just so vague, and just like it's like so like come up with a new villain, or just like not have him at all. Like, it wouldn't have like, I feel like that wouldn't have affected anything.
Yeah, I was fine if they didn't put him in. It felt like it was underutilized, and then his goals didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Because did Agent Smith also call the Mayor Vinci?
I think he did, yeah.
And then their partnership fell apart, I guess?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He had his I want to take over the Matrix, like, plot, like, goal still, but then he was just like, it's fine, I don't care.
Being in here.
Yeah.
It didn't make any sense. And then he just leaves the movie.
I'm a rich, like, tech bro now, I don't care.
I mean, yeah, because it's like, he was living a good life in the Matrix. He's not real, so he can't even enter the real world anymore.
He could become like a nanobot pin machine, I guess, or something.
But there's nothing to do once you're a nanobot pin machine.
Yeah, just wander around
fighting for power.
Yeah.
So Now here's another thing. Does that mean that he has a real robot body in the real world then?
I mean, I guess he could if they like used whatever like technology that like does that, I
But
guess.
like Sati was a eagle bird, like
Yeah.
I mean an eagle stingray machine.
But she was like, yeah, but she was all like, yeah, she was always like, well, I guess the new Morpheus is also like wasn't not real. He's like a program, so.
So I was saying, like, what are the rules where it's like sometimes you can have a real robot body, other times you're just like pins, and then the goal of the robot, like the robots wanted to like just have power so that they can live, or else they'll be like absorbed or killed or whatever, or purged from the Matrix. But then if you're just a robot, you're not in the Matrix, right? Like you're just a robot now off the grid.
Yeah.
Because it seems like you lose your conscious once you are a robot. I don't
Cause,
know. The
yeah.
movie kind of just.
Cause like, cause yeah, cause like, cause like Sati isn't in. She's not in the Matrix. She's in like her own like pocket like Matrix or something. It's like she's like a pocket dimension inside her eagle robot like.
So the minute you're off the grid from the real Matrix that was like murdering other programs and trying to purge things.
Yeah.
So wouldn't that be better than living in that purging world matrix that Neil Patrick Harris made? I don't know. That's the thing. It's like of the theories, I don't bother to like care or like start a fandom like they did back in the day where people were like trying to understand every metaphor, every symbolism of the matrix. This throws that out the window. None of that's in it. But to me, as a creator that's looking to sync a story where it's like, never ask me to do this again, it's brilliant. Like, it's a brilliant way to like never ask for more.
Well, there probably won't be any more because it failed horribly at the box office, so.
It's, I don't know. It's like, I think it still needs to be worth watching to see a global, international franchise that is like pretty revolutionary. Just kind of like ended on this and like a way in a very artsy way of like because like Lana could just been like no the Matrix is dead to me I don't want to make this anymore like stop asking me but she took it up and then did it in a way to just be like fine I got a paycheck like I got to hang out with my friend actors and we put a movie together and it's like yeah later on you'll know why I did this because I because either because again either she was going to do it or someone else was, and she would rather she do it and then just make sure no one does it again because I just don't want to see more Matrix things. You know, like it really like did a good job of not making insulting me for liking the Matrix first for like what it was. And then it like all the theories about Neo are out the window because they don't apply anymore. Because I like the idea that this was like another cycle. Like he died, and this is like another version where he wasn't pulled out of the Matrix until way later. Because they did mention that where, you know, Zion and the Matrix, they like kind of share like resurrections hand in hand, where, you know, they always go to war, they always do this, there's multiple of the ones, you
Yeah,
know.
there was yeah the architect was like there's been like eight iterations and then like they like he like because like Neo, like in Reloaded like Neo was supposed to like he was supposed to go in the other door and then like choose like what was like 100 people or something to like restart humanity and then they'll basically the Matrix would like reboot again because they would like the Matrix would like run until an anomaly, like the one showed up, and then they would just like the architect would, like had the one like make that choice, and then they would just reboot it again.
He's done that 8 times. The one has
Yeah,
always been doing this.
and then the difference was that he like Neo, was in love with Trinity, so then like he chose her over like humanity.
Everyone, right?
Yeah.
So in the old version, the one never was in love.
I guess, yeah, I guess that's what they applied.
And then this time, so Neo's the final one, but then sometimes you don't need to be the one, you can just be. Two? Which is new.
They're both the one now, I guess. Although now Neo can't fly, but Trinity can fly, and then they can both
Write code.
yeah, they can like rewrite the matrix and like they have like all the one powers again.
But they could fly, because he could fly at the end.
Yeah.
See, like, what was the point? Like, I.
I also like I was really bugged by the like the final action sequence. Like, I mean, a lot of it was pretty good, like pretty good.
It
Like,
was building up to something bigger, I thought.
and yeah, like they jump off the roof. Trinity can fly. Like they're getting like cornered by a helicopter, and then like it just like cuts to like, oh, we got out. It's fine. Like it's like what?
Oh,
How?
like the whole thing where they jump and then she holds him and then
They
she
just
says
like.
like let's fly and
They
then
just they,
just
there's like
flies
the,
off.
yeah she like s just slowly floats to the air and then this is like, well, we got out somehow. All right.
Like you don't need telephones anymore, you just need mirrors,
Yeah,
so
they use mirrors now. They can like, yeah, they just jumped into mirrors and they can get out whenever they want, I guess. Which is like a
again,
lot
I'm fine with
of
that.
removes a
That's
lot of
the, I'm
tension of like, because it like one of the best set pieces of the whole like original movie is like Neo trying to find the phone at the end.
That's gone now. Just find a
Yeah.
mirror anywhere.
Although I mean, and I guess the mirror stuff like does get the cool like you can just like jump anywhere in the world thing,
I
which is
didn't
like
mind that. See,
which only.
I like the next step of the what was established. I
Yeah.
don't like this deconstructed version. So I appreciate the small things. I also didn't mind bugs. You know, like I did mind the new crew.
No. Yeah. This like yeah, this movie definitely proves like how wasted like Jessica Henwick was on Iron Fist.
I mean, she still feels like she was wasted in this one too.
Yeah, but at least yeah, she's used at least like slightly better here than in Iron Fist.
Okay, yeah. I'm still okay. So one of the last things, I didn't understand using her brainwaves for Trinity, where
They
they
had
were
to
like.
like, yeah, they had like yeah, what like ha have
Transfer
bug
her?
ha have bugs be in the matrix, like fill in for Trinity as when they took her out of the matrix, like bugs had to be the one in the matrix while they got Trinity out or something. But then they were like they were fused together as one person for like a little bit there or something.
She wasn't in the Matrix, like Bugs wasn't. She plugged into Trinity, right?
Yeah.
And then they moved Trinity into the ship.
Yeah, they had to use bugs as like a like
Like a carrier.
yeah, like like we like you have to like we have to like use your like temporarily like hold Trinity's like consciousness or something, I guess, and then we'll get her then we get out of the matrix and we'll put it on the ship or whatever. So Trinity is still in the matrix, but then it's like she's not plugged into the matrix anymore, she's plugged into like bugs, I
Bugs,
guess.
who's in the Matrix,
Yeah.
but then they had to get her into the ship together. You know what I mean? Like,
It was all just like the new that, I guess that was the new bullet time, is like the like you see them both at the same time fighting people.
I wouldn't mind if they she needed help in a power up, and so Bugs like jumped in and they kind of fought as one, like a
Yeah.
fusion thing. Wouldn't that be better? Where it's like, oh, Trinity, like she can't remember, or she's still trying to awaken. So Bugs shows up to like show her how to unlock the Matrix, because Trinity could move. Like she understood the Matrix rules. It was like you didn't have to like follow physical things. You could just do the impossible because you freed your mind. That was the point. It was like, yeah, like conventional Morpheus' training was that way. It's like, yeah, you didn't have to breathe. Like it's all like. You have to like remember that it's fake, and then you can beat the system. But Trinity like jumps straight into like, no, this is like super like fake. I'm gonna punch the shit out of like the punch the shit out of like the director of John Wick and like yell at my bratty kids. I actually did appreciate when like again, it's weird sitcom humor when where Neo was at the coffee shop and he tries to talk to Trinity, but her kids are like, are you gonna hit on my mom? I kind of laugh at that. That was like dumb, but It was not clever. It was just, he caught me off guard. Overall, it's just not an action movie I would recommend, but it's definitely like a movie to watch to see how like you close out a series.
Yeah,
It's not a priority though. Like, it's sad.
it's interesting, and they're like, it's definitely not going to be like, oh, I'm ready for like the like action extravaganza of like the original trilogy. Like, no, this is like this is like meta commentary on filmmaking and the Matrix's role in society, and it's a weird like Office Space style comedy. It's something like.
It's like, again, there's so many things that poured into this movie that they were trying to do, and I feel like no matter what, the original trilogies are still gonna survive. Just, this is not gonna be one of them that's gonna be remembered. It's just gonna be like, oh yeah, by the way, the fourth one kind of ruins everything. Like, just don't watch it. Just don't watch the last. It's like, don't watch the last season of a TV show. To me, that's just like, yeah, you don't need to see this thing, but Jesus. Anyway, let me talk about the movie I watched to like cleanse that out.
Okay.
I know we talked about, you wrote about it like months ago when the Spine of Night. This animation movie that was like being developed or released like internationally before it came to America.
I think it was at like Toronto International Film Festival or something, and that's when the trailer came out last year. So that was like September or something last year.
I think it came out originally like in Poland, and then they made like the like international release. But it's the Spine of Night is a high fantasy, mature, rotoscope animated movie. And it stars like an all-star voice cast of like Lucy Lawless, Patton Oswalt, Richard E. Grant. Joe Manganiello was in it for like 4 minutes, but it's like he's featured on like things. And like a whole handful of other people. And this movie took like 7 years to make, apparently. It just like, I guess from draft idea to like finalizing to filming like extra scenes and then getting like the hard details and just the budget. But yeah, it's been, and plus rotoscope films are hard to make.
Yeah, and like one of the directors like wrote like almost every episode of like or like we're on like every episode of like Love, Death and Robots.
Oh, I think they both did.
Yeah.
Both directors wrote for Love, Death, and Robots.
And very Ralph Bakshi inspired. Like it's like obviously like
It can't skip it. You
heavy
can't skip. It can't
heavy.
skip
It's
like the references to like Fire and Ice or Ice and Fire, the
Yeah, or like
1983
Wizards.
Ralph Bakshi.
Yeah, or like Wizards is like another probably another big one, and then like his Lord of the Rings adaptation.
As much as Lord of the Rings, because Lord of the Rings wasn't bloody, it just was rotoscoped.
Yeah, and then like heavy metal is probably another like huge inspiration, obviously probably too.
Yeah, but
Heavy metal is probably more sci-fi. This is like definitely like super like this is
yeah,
like
I mean,
very
technically,
hard
so
fantasy like.
what's your take on like sci-fi for sword and sandals, or sandals and blood, whatever the call the genre is, sword and sandals. Because it's totally sci-fi. It's just, it's different sci-fi, like fantasy sci-fi, but then fantasy and sci-fi, are they the same or different?
Well, I mean, I think it's like it's more like it's fantasy and magic, and then like if you start interested in like robots or something or lasers, then you're getting the sci-fi. If it's like people with swords and like wizards and stuff, then you're like getting
Fantasy, but
fantasy.
some people
Yeah.
do consider that science fiction too, even though it's like unexplained science.
Yeah.
But
I don't
oh, don't worry. There are lasers and fucking robots in this that come out of
Okay.
nowhere.
Okay, then that would probably make it more like a, it's like a fantasy sci-fi movie
Well,
then.
that's okay. It's fantasy sci-fi because this is the one few movies that like it doesn't feel like it, but the movie is supposed to be like, I don't know, like 100 years, like it's like long between like rural fantasy where it's legit like sword and sorcery to the Bronze Age where they have like flying machines and then like a death ray and then they harness the pa this magic into like an actual like weapon thing. It's really interesting. But I'll get into it. This movie's about like this plant. They refer to the bloom, which is this like mystical plant that comes from like the heavens. And then like it grants people that like know how to use it, either like wear it or they like eat it or they, I don't know, like it's like a MacGuffin, where it's like as long as you have the plant in your possession and you sort of know how to use it, you can kind of do like powerful things. Like you could heal, you can cause fire, you can summon nature. It's like it's just whatever you need the movie to do. But yeah, and then it's about like people who like protect it and people who like want to take it. And Lucy Lawless plays this swamp witch who uses the bloom to protect her like swamp people who like kind of all like nature and they're very rural and they're very like tribal tribesmen where they kind of forsake like normal townsfolk and like I don't know economy and all that, so they don't like their neighboring area but they're sick to themselves, like they don't actively seek out things. But then Patton Oswalt is a newly elected like lord because his father died, and then he kind of is this arrogant guy who, in order to show power, just wants to like wipe out, like he just wants this like witch. So they don't really give much explanation, but just like, yeah, he goes, you're an annoyance, like I want to expand my territory into the swamp and like your people won't let me. So he captures the swamp witch, who then like in order to like to kind of like boast about his victory over this, he gets a scholar, just like this world, there's like the scholar organization that just goes around records data, because like in this world, like not everyone can read, no one really knows how to write, but like unless like you're like a clerk, this is like elitist group. Think of it as like Game of Thrones, where all like the clergy guys or whatever, like the scribes. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, we're
Like
like
Sam,
where
or
Sam was gonna like study for a while, yeah.
it's like that. So it's like he gets one of those guys to show up to like take note. But then when he sees like how like kind of mystical powered the Lucy Lawless's character is, this guy, he like tries to protect her and then say we must take her back to the capital to like understand, and like this is like a something like really new and powerful and we need to like study it, and like Patton Oswalt just won't have it, so he imprisons both of them. And then in order to escape, like because it's like if not like they're gonna get executed, Lucy Lawless really like unleashes some of the power of the bloom, and it really like it like shocks this scholar guy, who then gets obsessed with it because he's like, well, if I have that power, like I can do what I want and I can shape the world now. So he like kind of like it's his own accord. Like the bloom itself is innocent, but it's like he sees it as like a new opportunity. So he fucks over Lucy Lawless, and then he like he leads like a 100-year reign in this area, in this world, just sort of like slowly building up his empire, where he you know like the movie kind of is in segments where it's like every few years it's like a new story of like where he's at and then who he's affecting. So the first part is like the origin. Second part is like now it's like this new town. Or this t the capital, and they have the clergy guy, like Galsar is his name. Like Galsar is now like a prisoner because like he got too powerful, so they like kind of like captured him to study. And then it's like a new hero that like or like this new main character you follow, and then her friends, and then what her thoughts are, and then the next part is just a generic pair of like lovers who just like are leaving this town that now Galsar is like ravishing, and then they're kind of like they realize like how little like they are compared to the world and like what they hope like now that they even though they feel like they're doomed like they still lived a life and stuff like it's very depressing. And then the next segment is like now it's in the future and sort of where like Galsar has now invented like spaceship like he not like airships like he invented like some sort of like Hindenburg type thing with like wings and a death beam. And it's just like decimating this like one of the last like kingdoms that's like putting up a fight. And then you know the animation is pretty good where like you could see like the human like the movements are very like human-like and it's very like native, but there's a lot of stiffness into it. And then you really see it when they do like the like sci-fi elements where now you have these like people who are bird people like or like they have like bird suits so they're able to like guide to the sky but it's way more awkward because it's like all right like this is rotoscope and you know they tied some guy with rope and they did like this pulley system to kind of get the animation right but you can tell it doesn't look natural compared to the first part of the segment where everyone's like holding the swords and charging at each other and like you know doing a very classic Ralph Batch kind of fighting. And then you get bird choreography, and I'm like, okay, like this is where they're trying to push the limit, but it doesn't look great. But other aspects of it are like okay. But yeah, that's like the major plot is that it's like all about the rise of like, you know, this evil guy and like the people who kind of try to stop him over the years. But I don't even know why they could really call it the Spine of Night because it's not like one night, but I guess it's referring to like a spine meaning like the root of things, or it's spine meaning the back of things because it's like it's a weird metaphor or weird name where it's like the night sky greets the earth. I don't know. Like I was trying to figure that out, but it's like it's brought up like twice. They only called like the Spine of Night once. Like it's just like, all right, yes, like this is the movie. Honestly, the movie should be called like The Bloom or like, you know, Galsar, but Galsar is like a not a great interesting title. So you don't get that through the trailer. You make it seem like it's one evil guy and it's like a bunch of heroes rise up to stop him, but it is like a 100-year span or something like that. Like, you know, it's a generation of people trying to stop this guy. And again, the animation's a little rough. It doesn't reinvent rotoscoping. In fact, it kind of follows in some of the like faults of why it's like rough for rotoscope. So I could see if you like rotoscope, if you like that like roughness, it continues that. Doesn't reinvent anything. The action's pretty good. Like you know, the violence is like what you would see for that kind of like stilted animation. And then like do try something different, like the bird fighting, and then the magic uses. It's you know pretty gruesome. You know, a lot of gore, which is kind of cool. The thing is, I don't know. Is it just rotoscope? Is it just like why they keep doing this, but there is so much vaporization of people. Like, I've seen this in other kind of cartoon, rotoscope cartoons, where it's like they love showing people like burning or like, you know, being vaporized where their skin and then their muscle and their skeleton like turns to dust. Like, I've seen that so much. Is that just a thing? Like, is that just like a requirement in like adult animation? You know, like just people like doing that like Raiders of the Lost Ark, like just melting. I think I've seen that in Heavy Metal. I've seen that in other Ralph Batch.
It's like a metal
It's a
like
metal like.
metalocalypse, I'm sure that happened all the
Oh yeah,
time.
that happens all the time. Another thing is like, how many? Okay, just in the span where I've complained about it, how many times do you think this happens where it's like a thing I have to point out?
Like half, like 6 times, probably.
Like 10. It's like a
10?
lot
Okay.
of, it's like a lot of people start getting melty or like I mean, there's like one reverse where like a skeleton becomes a human, so that's kind of different, but it's still like, oh, it's okay, like you know, like it's a lot of vaporization. It's a lot of people get melted. I mean, at least 10 people get vaporized. I don't think it's 10 different scenes, but it's like just by my count, I was like, that's a lot. Like it's gotten to the point where I think they just love to like to shoehorn in. It's like, okay, how do we kill this person? I don't know. Vaporize, vaporize. So in my review, I pointed out that like Richard E. Grant is amazing in this. He's been on a hot streak in the last few years, and he delivers such great lines in this. Just because like he sounds like a like I don't know, maybe it's an English accent, but it's that whole like that tiresome old warrior voice that he got. And the his delivery just sounds really great. It has like almost like Elder Scroll vibes to it. So if you like that old kind of somber epic talk, it's great. Lucy Lawless is pretty good too. Like of course she's just you know she always has the sound of a warrior, so her screaming and like incantations and then kind of making threats is pretty cool. I just wish Galsar, the main villain, was played by someone more iconic. Because when he's young or just starting out in the thing, like it's fine, but as he gets more powerful, there's no change in tone or pitch. Only when he's like now like a godlike, where now he's like super powerful over the years and he's kind of harnessed the power of the bloom. They add like a computerized voice to him a little bit, or like they modulize his voice, or they alter it slightly, but it's nothing like grand, you know? It just sounds like, oh, this guy just sounds mad. Just there's no huge tone to him. So I was like, ah, they kind of like they could have done that better. And then same thing with the voice actors. Like I feel like some of the they cut budget on all the extras, and so they just don't sound right compared to the main. You can definitely tell like when they put the main actors, they sound quality. They sound did a really good sound check for them. But when they do like backgrounds and extras and like one-time line characters, it's just like it sounds like it's recorded in a garbage can. So. It's very unbalanced. I did mention this movie feels like it kind of does like they kind of like you can tell when they wanted to like really put to the focus, and then like I hope no one notices, and then there's a lot of errors. They're just like we just hope no one notices. But overall, it's still pretty fun. Again, when's the last time you saw an adult rotoscope fantasy movie? So I definitely recommend watching it just for the story, and then. Again, I'm not trying to spoil things because it's pretty good, and it's like the thing is they do say in the like trailers and then in the press kit that's like yeah man like this is a great movie to like take drugs and watch because it's supposed to be like very trippy, so you know it makes sense like if you are someone who enjoys some of those things, some of those mind altering things, and watching a cool like visual trippy movie, yeah, this is totally it. If you're looking for just like an action plot, it gets there. It gets the job done. It feels longer than it is because it's only like an hour and a half, but it's very like it's like a very extended Love, Death, and Robot, where it introduces you enough and then, well, okay, I did mention like the segments are short, but the overall story is good. You know, like I wish they spent more time in certain segments because you get like new characters and new concepts of like where you are. You're trying to figure out from context clues of like what's happened since the last time, and then yeah, just like and it's over, and a lot of don't get attached to like characters because they come and go. So that's why I kind of appreciate certain things where it's like yeah, oh you like this character? Gone, vaporized.
Yeah, it's gonna It's gonna be on Shudder sometime this year, so if
They
you have
like
Shudder,
help
you better watch
produce.
it. Yeah.
They like help produced it, but like it's not on their service.
It's
And
yeah, not it's it's
the
it's
physical
sometime.
copy coming out next week.
Yeah, it's gonna be on Shudder like in the near future this year. Sometime this year it's gonna be on Shudder at some point. So if you have Shudder, keep an eye out for it. I would say.
You have
But
Shudder, so.
I think you can like is it you can rent it on like digital right now, I think maybe, or buy it
You
on
can rent it
digital.
on digital. You can buy it on digital stuff. You can also see it in theaters, like select art house theaters. They're touring the movie like around America. So you can just catch it in a theater. Like a very, alternative theater. You won't see this at AMC.
Yeah, I'll probably wait till it hits Shutter and then check it
Oh
out.
yeah, it's totally like not a like you have to see it because it's gonna be like revolutionary and stuff, but it's pretty good.
Well, speaking of like fantasy epics, I finally saw The Green Knight, which came out last year. Directed by David Lowery, who directed lots of smaller like indie stuff. Like he directed like Eating the Body of Saints and like A Ghost Story and stuff. But also directed like Peach Dragon, the remake for Disney. So The Green Knight is kind of big fantasy epic. Although and big, but it's like still like kind of like small. Like it's small because it's focused on like just like a small number of characters and stuff, or like one character basically, like Sir Gawain. Or I guess I think it's like either way is correct. But like in the movie, they say Gawain. Like I've always said like Gawain. But I guess everyone says like Gawain in this movie, or Gawain. So,
I thought it was Gawain.
yeah, that's why it's how I've always said it. And everyone says Gawain. I think either way is like technically correct. You could say either way, however you want, as long as it's one of those two ways. But yeah, so it's like a Arthurian legend adaptation. It's based on like Sir Gawain and the Green Knights, and Dev Patel plays Gawain. And it's kind of interesting because he's kind of like he's like this like kind of like lazy like he just is like getting drunk all the time, like going to like whorehouses and stuff. So he's like, but then he's also trying to be a knight. So it's just like he's like this very like immature like he's just like this like this like lazy guy who just like is like I'm gonna go to Camelot hungover, and like I was like with like my girlfriend last night in like this like weird like whorehouse slash like slum where everyone lives together. But then he on a Christmas one day like one year the Green Knight shows up, who's like this like very this like mystical like he's like this like tree kind of like knight guy who shows up and then like offers up a challenge of like anyone who like he'll take a blow from anyone in King Arthur's court, and then one year later like whoever like does the blow has to like go to like his like chapel in the woods and like get the same blow from delivered to them. So Gawain like cuts his head off, and then like the Green Knight's like, well, but then that doesn't kill him, like because he's like this like magical mystical creature guy. So he's not dead. So he picks up his head and basically like, well, one year later you have to come and like I'm gonna give you the same blow you gave me. So, yeah. So then it cuts to like a year later, and then so like, it's basically like so like, King Arthur kind of like is like kind of like goads or like kind of like convinces like Gawain to like you have to go do this. Like he can't just like avoid it or like not do it. Like cause it's like all it's about like honor and stuff. So then Gawain goes up on like this like quest. He basically has like a week to like. Because he waits to like a week before Christmas, so he basically has like this week to like make it to like where he's supposed to meet the Green Knight. But then he ends up with like a bunch of like other like weird like situations along the way. Like he like meets like a ghost and like there's like thieves that like rob him at certain points. So it's like there's a like he there's, it's very like episodic at points where it's just like it'll be like this like kind of like five like ten, like 10 15 minute adventure where like he's like just like in like this new situation with people where like it's like solve something, some new thing, or like he's like trying, he has to escape some sort of new thing. But yeah, it's not like a Ridley Scott like action like historical movie. If you're going like wanting like a bunch of like hack and slash and stuff, you're not like, it's not this, like this is not like a like action movie at all.
I think they kind of make sure the trailer doesn't seem like it's epic thing where it's like,
yeah, it's more about just like the, you know, like the vibe and like the you know,
the lighting,
the themes of it, like, you know, like it's all about like honor and what it means to be a knight and all that stuff. And yeah, it's definitely worth watching just for like the cinematography, because this movie is gorgeous. Like, there's like shots. It's one of those movies where it's like every, you could like pause the movie at any time and like frame the screen and like on the wall and like make it like a piece of art, because it's like every shot is just like this like stunning. So I mean, it's worth watching just for that. And then also like the music is really great too. Like it has like this, like it's like this great mix of like medieval sounding like music, but also like this like super like oppressive like synth at times. It's kind of like, yeah, it's just like this like really like atonal like synth, like. And yeah, and then just like a ton of like great like supporting like roles too. Like, yeah, like Dev Patel's great, and then also like Alicia Vikander's in like two roles in the movie. She's like Gawain's like kind of like commoner girlfriend, but also like this like lady that shows up later. And like Joel Edgerton is like this lord that like he runs into at one point. And then like Sean Harris, like, you know, the bad guy from like the last couple of Mission Impossible movies, is King Arthur.
Oh, King Arthur's actually in this?
Yeah, all the knights are in. They don't explicitly say like, hey, look, it's King Arthur, or it's like Lancelot or whatever. they don't outright say it, but like, and also like Merlin is there. They don't say like, what do you think, Merlin?
Okay.
It's like a guy. You have to just be like, oh, this wizard guy. That must be Merlin. Like, they don't. It's like the character's like, what do you make of this green knight, Merlin? You standing over there, like, yeah. It's you have to like, if you like know like you know, like Arthurian legend, like you're just paying attention, like you'll be able to like, you're like, oh, okay, that's Merlin. That's cool, like cameo kind of thing. It's like wizardy looking guy, or like, and then, I mean, Arthur's obviously Arthur. He's the king, mm-hmm. So it's like, you know who King Arthur is. And other knights are there, and then they don't really, but it's not about like, it's all about like, you know, Gawain and Arthur and his like quest and everything. So. But yeah, I thought it was really good. It's one of those, if you're not into the vibe of it, you might be like, this is like boring or slow or whatever. But like, it's I definitely kept on board by like the, like, you know, the cinematography and like just kind of just to see where, what kind of new thing that like was going to happen next, or like new whatever, like new imagery that it was going to show. Like, yeah, there's like just like so much great, just like because there is like actual like fantastical stuff that happens. Like, there's actually like magical creatures and like magical things that are happening. Obviously, with the Green Knight is one of them, but also there's like other creatures as well that show up. So it's like, yeah, it's super super interesting, super like super like stunning looking movie that's worth checking out, I think. And then just a couple of TV show things quick. Cobra Kai season 4. I watched all of it last weekend. I just binged the whole thing. Because the thing with Cobra Kai is like every episode is like half an hour long, so you can like really just binge that thing. Yeah,
that's easy to binge then.
Yeah, and it's like 10 episodes or something, or 8 episodes or whatever. So, yeah, great as always. Like I love this show's fantastic. Like it's just like it shouldn't be as good as it is. And it's just right from the start, it seemed like just like this like terrible idea of just like, oh, we're gonna reboot, or we're gonna like make a sequel to Cobra Kai or to Karate Kid that's like follows like Johnny Lawrence, like, but then it turned out to be like, but then it's the perfect balance of like taking itself, like taking the plot like seriously, but also just like knowing what it is and like playing like with like the fan service and like twisting things and like, or like making jokes about things and like, It's perfect. It's like perfect blend of just like being aware, like self-aware, but also like telling like an actual like interesting story with like fun characters and stuff. So, and also like and the jump to like Netflix is also like definitely that seems like it's helped a bunch a lot too, because like it's like they can get like bigger like guest stars, and like they can like they actually like they're like the they can actually like swear and stuff now on season four. So it's like there's like the first time someone drops an F-bomb, I'm like, what? Cobra Kai's swearing now? Okay.
Ah, I didn't know they did that.
Yeah, I guess because like they're on Netflix now, they're gonna be like, all right, whatever. So let's drop some F-bombs. But yeah, just like a fun, just a super fun season. Like a lot of great, just because like a lot of great like Johnny and Daniel stuff, because they're kind of working together to try to take down Cobra Kai. And then it was teased in the trailer and stuff. But, like yeah, Terry Silver's back, and man, what a fantastic villain! Like for like, it's like if you saw like Karate Kid 3, like you know he was like this like completely ridiculous like
He
villain in
taught
that one.
evil karate.
Yeah, evil karate. He is like a straight up like just like maniacal super villain in season four. Like it's like when you see like the full scope of like his plotting and stuff, it's like it's insane. Because there's a lot of twists, because there's a lot of like twists and turns like of like trying to figure out like what he like what because like Kreese goes to get him, and then it's like, well, what is like Terry Silver's agenda with all this and stuff, and then you find out his agenda. It's like, oh wow, okay.
It's like he's gonna bang Daniel's mom. Am I close?
No,
Ah.
Dale's mom is does have a cameo again in the season, but along with like his like it, I love that they just keep introducing like new like LaRusso cousins. They just keep throwing like new LaRussos out there, just like, oh, it's our cousin Vanessa now, and then like his
Wait,
cousin.
they never got to Hilary Swank yet?
No, Hilary Swank. Yeah, I think they keep talking about like, oh, baby. Yeah. I mean, Terry Silver is the big like returning character this time, obviously, so for season four. So, and it's also kind of crazy too, because like you realize in like watching this season, like so the first season had like the All Valley tournament, but then there hasn't been a tournament again since season one. So then you realize like, oh, this like season two and three and like all season four has been like just a year,
Oh,
basically.
really?
It's yeah, because like it's like every year there's like a like All Valley Cry tournament, but then we haven't seen it since the first season. So everything that happened in season two or three has been like just like a year since the first tournament we saw in Cobra Kai. So it's crazy to think like what happened over like a year. And yeah, just super like, I mean, William Zabka is just like amazing as always. Like he's just so great as Johnny on the show, and lots more fun like 80s references and like references to like the music, and also just like he's just like constantly like referencing like 80s like action movies, or like or he's having like his like student like he's having like his students watch like Bloodsport or something, or like other like 80s action movies, big like, you gotta be like this. So yeah, I mean, if you love the show, like the season four is great as always, and then season five is on the way hopefully soon. So have you watched any of it, Chris, yet? Or
I've seen bits and pieces of like season one and two, but I need to sit down and like watch it in a row.
yeah,
Is it required watching at this point?
I mean, I love it. It's a great show. I think it's fantastic. So I definitely need to watch. I have not seen Karate Kid 3 in like a long time. I think I need to like rewatch Karate Kid 3 now, just after the season, just like to see like where like Terry Silver came from again. Because I just remember like brief clips of like him just like yelling like it was a very like cocaine fueled performance scene. Like we're just like he was just like yelling like in a sauna, just yelling on like an 80s cell phone and stuff. It's like, I love it, Johnny. Yeah. And then last TV thing I saw the first two episodes of Righteous Gemstones season two. So that is finally back. It's been I think it's been 2 years since the first season ended.
Wow.
So yeah, it's been a pretty long delay or like wait for like new episodes of Righteous Gemstones, but it's still yeah, the first episodes back are fantastic, like lots of great new kind of like plot threads for like the entire like for this new season. There's like Eric Roberts shows up as like this like mysterious friend from like John Goodman's past. And then there's a whole plot where like Danny McBride and his wife are like teaming up with like Eric Andre and his wife to try to like make this like Florida like Christian timeshare resort
Okay.
called like New Zion. And so it's this whole like, and then like Eric Andre and his wife are like these like this Texas megachurch people. So they're like it's like just like the most over the top Texasness of like they have like the cars with like the steer horns on them, and like Eric Andre has like a gun like on his hip the entire time. And like they're like church is like this like Western themed church and stuff. And then there's like a reporter who's played by Jason Schwartzman who's like investigating the gemstones because he like brought down one of their other like underling like other un one of the, like the pastors under them got like written up in this like expose and like killed himself or tried to kill himself. So now like this like reporter's like after the gemstones themselves. So yeah, lots of, it seems like a lot of like interesting or like fun like plots set up in this first two episodes. And
Okay.
everyone's like amazing as always on it. Like the whole, I mean, this cast is like fantastic. Like John Goodman, Danny McBride, Anne Devine, Edie Patterson. I'm not sure if Walton Goggins will be back because like he was in like a bunch of the first season, but then he hasn't shown up yet in the second season. Hopefully he comes back because like everything's better with Walton Goggins. But I feel like possibly Eric Roberts is like kind of like taking over like the like Walton Goggins kind of role this year or
The
this season
older,
maybe.
like,
Like the like wacky
fanatical,
yeah
yeah.
the like crazy like wild card from the past.
I like the Walter Goggins, like, intro, because it's, like, 4 episodes into the first
The first
season that
season?
he just shows up, yeah.
Yeah. And then yeah, in the first season, like his whole thing with like Judy Gemstone, where he's like trying to like they had that whole like dance number and stuff, like he's like trying to like make her like the star of the of like his show. And like steal her away from like the main family. But yeah, the show is like just so like just so hilarious, like, and it's definitely like as good as like the other any the other like kind of like Danny McBride, like David Gordon Green, Jody Hill stuff, like Eastbound and Down and Vice Principals. I mean, if you like either of those two shows and you haven't seen the Righteous Gemstones yet, like it's definitely check it out. It does such a good job of just like parodying like the mega church kind of culture and like showing how like how huge hypocrites they are. There's like this whole there's like a bunch of like jokes in these first episodes of them just like in the middle of like their like sermons just like trying to like they're like pimping out their like because they have like a streaming service now called like God like Gemstones on like it's like Gemstone On Demand Sermons. So but it's like their like streaming service they have now. It's like in the middle of this like sermon they're like, you know what you should everyone should go to like if you want like sermons 24/7, go to subscribe to God's the Gemstone On Demand service. Or like in the middle of like a support meeting, they're trying to like sell like t the like timeshares of this the resort they're trying to build. It's like, hey, everyone in this group gets 50% off the timeshare. So, and also just showing just how much like how just like it's like oh they're like. Yeah, they're doing everything for God, but then it's like they're like making millions of dollars.
Oh yeah, it's like the corrupt business. That's what I like about the first season. It was like
Yeah.
it showed you that even if you have like faith, it like can get like ruined by just financial greed, and the
They
kids don't give a shit. Like I feel
Yeah.
like the kids didn't care.
And like their whole like fucking gemstone compound that they have, like the theme park that no one can go to except for them. Like it's like
Do they
basically
even go into it?
I think it's like abandoned. Like they built it and just abandoned it for so it's just
Okay.
like
So
this
they
like
don't
rotting
even
like.
they don't yeah, they just, it's like they drive past it,
Yeah.
but they never go in it, I guess.
And yeah, they each have their own like crazy mansion and like everybody has like 20 cars and stuff. It's just like yeah. But yeah, it's great. Yeah, so the first two episodes are up right now on HBO Max. You can it's like every Sunday on HBO for I think it's gonna be 8 episodes again this year for or 9 episodes for the second season. And then there's a third season already on the way, so which is great. So yeah, definitely much more rich episodes on the way. I think like Daniel Craig said they want to make this like the longest show they've done because like Eastbound Down was four seasons and like Vice Principal was 2 seasons. And they want this one to be like some sort of like crazy huge epic where it's like six seasons, 8 seasons, where it's just like they keep like making this like huge sprawling. The epic of gemstones. So, yeah, definitely check that out. It's super like one of the best comedies out there right now. So, and that's it for me this week. So we wrap things up. Definitely head over to the site. We've got all kinds of stuff up there. We got Chris's if you want to read his Spy of Night review, it's up there. You can also still listen to our Home Sweet Home Alone commentary if you want to check that out. And we're gonna have. I think we're gonna watch Free Jack this month for our January comedy because that's turning 20, I believe, this month, 20 or 25. So we're celebrating the anniversary of Free Jack. So that'll be up later this month, and all the other features up there as well. So everyone check all that stuff out. And yeah, so for Chris, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.
For more Everything Action, head to www.everythingaction.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at @EVAction. On Facebook by searching for Everything Action, and follow us on Instagram at everything.action. You can also subscribe and get more episodes on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.